Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to John. John chapter 14 this evening. Thank you, Brother Scott.
$10. And if I don't have $10 in my account, my bank is going to come to me looking for that $10 plus a $35 overdraft fee and return check fee. But it's not on Letario's merit he got that $10. It's on mine. That's how we can come to God. So what Letario did is he received $10 by my name. And this is how we come to God, through the name of Jesus Christ. Because we have nothing to offer God. We have no access to God on our own merit. We must trust in the merit of Christ on His name. That is why we pray in Jesus' name. It's not just something we tack on the end of the prayer. But this brings a question. When we come to God in prayer, we must understand that we cannot come trusting our own merit, that I'm doing it myself, that I'm trusting in, well, I've been good, I've been doing right, therefore I have access to God. You can do right from now till kingdom come, and you're not going to get there. But if we come trusting in the merit of Jesus, we have no access without Jesus. The pastor, you're repeating this, yes, because this is important. Young people, get this. When you come to God in prayer, it's through the merit of Jesus. There's nothing you can do. So, I can come to God and not be right with Him? I didn't say that. So, we have a relationship with Him that must be right, but we have access through Jesus Christ. That's why we pray in His name. That's why we ask in His name. Now, let's look back at John chapter 14 and verse number 13. Now, this is important. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So are you saying, Pastor, that if I go to God, and it says here anything, right? Anything, I will get it. Now, there's a lot of health and wealth gospel people out there that would say, they take this verse out of context and say, yeah, if you pray for $1 million, you pray in Jesus' name asking for $1 million and you really believe it, you're eventually going to get it. It might be when you die in your life insurance policy, but you'll get it eventually. You know, that's what they promise. But let me ask you something. Does that glorify the Father in heaven? We must ask that question. That's a qualification here at the end. It must glorify the Father. And we looked at what prayers qualify as the will of God. We're going to get to that a little bit here in a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself. But are we, when we pray, some people, they just tack on in Jesus' name, and they got saved, and they got discipled, and they're just taught, well, you just pray in Jesus' name, so make sure you put in Jesus' name at the end. Just don't say amen, just say in Jesus' name, amen. And they're like, oh, okay, I didn't know, and they start doing it, but they have no idea why they're doing it. They just do it, and we just stick it on the end. And there are scores and scores of Christians that just stick it on the end of a prayer, because that's the way you're supposed to do it, but not understanding why. And many trusting in their own merit to come before God. It's important to do right. It's important to obey Him. But remember, you can never earn access to God. It's through Jesus Christ. Always remember that. There's nothing mystical about the name of Jesus. It's not hocus pocus alakazam. We've got to pray in Jesus' name and all these things start happening. It's not it at all. It is the person of Jesus Christ who we must come through. We must come through Jesus. For He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, you remember, now we're talking about Jesus is the only way through to God. Amen? Amen? In salvation and in prayer. So this verse takes on new meaning when you think of this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's through salvation, also through prayer. No man comes unto the Father except through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. We have access to God. Well, do we believe it? Let me ask you something. We are simply obeying the command that He gave us to pray in His name. But do we believe it? Do we believe that it's the merit of Christ? Look at Acts chapter 4. Well, you need to if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, I believe I can come to God and I have access to God, but I don't need to pray in Jesus' name. That's a problem. If you don't believe you need to come through Jesus Christ, then you didn't get saved. Amen? Unless you come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10 through 13 are very clear about this. Now, this is Peter. He is addressing the Sanhedrin. They had been dragged before him. They were preaching in the temple. They healed a man. And they brought them before the Sanhedrin. And Peter, having boldness, he gives them a sermon. A Holy Spirit sermon. Acts chapter 4, beginning verse number 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He didn't say, well, this is because of all the gifts that God has endued me with. This isn't because of all the power and authority. You know what Jesus said about me? I am to be called Cephas, which means a stone. God is building his church on me. No. He said on the name of Jesus Christ. That's how this man stands before you whole. That's how demons were cast out. It was through the name of Jesus Christ and his power and his majesty. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at not of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. In other what? For there is none other what under heaven? Name. So Jesus' name, very important. Amen. And it's just like the devil to make a curse word out of it. Amen. The name of Jesus is powerful. There's no other way to be saved except through Jesus in his name, given among men, whereby we must be saved. It doesn't say could be or are able to. It's a but must be in Jesus' name. Coming to him, trusting him alone. He's the only Savior of man, Jesus the Christ. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. What do we need to pray for? Well, number two, we need to look at claiming the promises of God. Now, let's look back at John chapter 13, or 14, verse 13 and 14. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's a pastor. You know, I've read this verse before, and you know, it's hard. Is it really true that if we pray in Jesus' name and ask of God and ask of him, that he will do it? Does God really do that still? There's a lot of Christians skeptical that don't believe it. Well, I tried it, Pastor. I prayed for a puppy dog. I didn't get it. I prayed in Jesus' name. Hold on. We need to pray according to the will of God. That's what we're going to get into now. You know how we can, I'm going to show you tonight how you can increase your faith in prayer in a very simple way, in a way I was never taught, in a way I think Pastor Harvey taught this. I think he's going to teach this. He taught this, and he's told me this at times. And I have never preached it before. It's not a new truth, but this is something very true in our prayer life. He said, well, I don't have a lot of faith in my prayer life for now. I'm kind of starting out. This is where you start. This is how you pray according to the will of God. So we are many times, we say that we claim the promises of God and receive an answer from him. That's a promise. If we claim a promise of God, we'll receive an answer from him. We have been taught that. But how do we do that? Even then, we claim it. Even when we claim it, we can have some doubts. And we need to understand what the will of the Lord is in order for us to have answered prayer. Turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5. In that, maybe you're new in your prayer life, or maybe you're beginning to grow in it. You have real desire, and that's good. But he said, where do I start? I don't know what the will of the Lord is. So how am I supposed to pray for it? And it frustrates us because there's more teaching here. And we say, well, I don't know what to pray for, so we just kind of pray hit and miss and at times we pray according to God's will and he answers, and then other times we don't, and we don't get an answer. So I said, what do I do? John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. By the way, God didn't want us to grope around in the darkness when it comes to our Bible study. Amen. He doesn't want us groping around in the dark when it comes to our prayer life. He doesn't want us groping around in the dark when it comes to our faith. He doesn't want us groping around in the dark for anything. The answers are here. And that's what we're going to see tonight. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, this is very confident, very clear statements. If we ask a petition of him according to his will, he promises he will give us what we request. Isn't that wonderful? Amen? That's wonderful. Well, okay, Pastor, what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about claiming the promises of God. Some ask, well, what is the will of the Lord? We can know. Capital K, capital N, capital O, capital W. We can know what God's will is. Amen? Who believes you can know God's will? We can know it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, we can know it. Amen? Okay, we're going to look at that. Look at James chapter 1, verse number 5. James chapter 1, verse number 5. This is how we pray. James chapter 1, verse 5. So, Pastor, we know this verse. Well, let's look at it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. So you're in a situation in your life, and by the way, we need to be asking this every day. We need wisdom to live in this present world because the devil is wicked and vile and smart and subtle, and we're dumb sheep. And we need wisdom from God to be protected from all of his foolishness and his deception. Amen? We need some wisdom. We need some wisdom in our family. We need some wisdom in our daily walk. So if we go to the Father and we ask of him and we make sure that there's no sin in our life and we're right with him, and we go and say, "Oh, my most gracious Heavenly Father, I lack wisdom. I don't have understanding in this area or this area," or you can just say all areas, but specific prayers get specific answers. And then you ask, "Lord, I need wisdom. Please, Lord, will you give me wisdom?" In Jesus' name, amen. You know what you just did? You claimed a promise of God. You're going to get an answer. 100% guaranteed. Why? Because God's word said it. You believe God's word's true, don't you? You're going to receive an answer. And by the way, if you're starting off in your prayer life, start off with requests like this, because you're going to get an answer every time, and it builds your faith that God hears you. But if you lack wisdom, it's a pet. So, "Lord, I don't know how to pray. Will you teach? Well, I need wisdom." He'll teach you how to pray. "I lack wisdom." And you know what? He's going to give you wisdom. He's either going to open up God's word to you in that area. You're going to be reading in your personal walk with him, in your personal devotional time. And boom! That's it. You asked for wisdom. Here it is. Here's that nugget of wisdom you needed. This is what you're going to need today. That's why I read our Bible every day. Not so we can get heads so big, just so we can get through the day, amen? Because every time, beyond the shadow of a doubt, I know this, every time I read my Bible with eyes open and heart open, and the Lord speaks to me, that happens that day or the next. Something that has to do with that happens. And God is preparing you. And if you ask for wisdom, he's going to open up the Lord Word of God to you that way. So, "Well, I need wisdom." You know what? You come here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Guess what? That's wisdom. That's the Bible. You're receiving, you got his answer. You coming to church, God's answering your prayer right there. God answers that prayer. Isn't that exciting? Amen? Amen. That should increase your faith right there. Well, is that the only one, Pastor? No, there's more. Look here. Look in Matthew chapter 6, 28 through 34. Matthew chapter 8, you look at the Beatitudes. Say, Lord, I want to be blessed. Will you bless me? Well, follow the Beatitudes, you get an answer to your prayer. Follow the yes, Lord, I need wisdom. Follow that, God will answer your prayer. Matthew chapter 6, many times God gives us, we have the knowledge, but we lack the wisdom to know how to apply it. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things could be added unto you. Is it what it says? Shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. We get all worked up because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how we're going to pay for this. We don't know how we're going to take care of this bill. We don't know how we're going to take care of this need over here and this need, this need, this need. Let me ask you something. Are you walking with God? Are you having a daily walk with the Lord? Are you walking with Him? Yes, Pastor. Are you doing all that you can do and doing your responsibility? This isn't a prescription to be lazy, by the way. This isn't, well, God's just going to take care of it. I don't have to work a job. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to be productive. I just sit here and God takes care of my needs. No, that's the lazy person taking that out of context, because we know that the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. That he that doesn't provide for his family is worse than infidel. So God wants us to work. But there are needs sometimes beyond our ability to manage them. There are needs beyond our ability to provide, and we need God's intervention. So if you walk with God, and this is what prohibits people from serving God. Pastor, I want to go and serve God, but I just can't afford it. Join the club. Join the club. Pastor, I want to go to Bible college. I just can't afford it. Pastor, I want to go on this mission trip. I just can't afford it. Do you think I could afford to go to college? I'm thankful my parents paid for most of my way, but I still had to pay for some. I couldn't afford to go to college. I couldn't afford to go on $6,000 mission trips. And my one to Australia cost almost $6,000 just for me to go. That's a lot of money to it. I mean, that's beyond the moon. But guess what? God provided my need because he wanted me to go. If you see God's kingdom first, God's going to take care of your needs. God always provides. God always provides wherever he leads you. He's not going to lead you out somewhere and leave you high and dry. He always provides your need. Now, this is very important to remember. He doesn't provide our wants. He provides our needs. And when we are just going off what we need, and if we're used to a level of comfort, that can be uncomfortable for us. Because we don't have, you know, maybe we need a cell phone, but we don't have the fancy iPhone 10. We don't have the massive Note 3 or whatever it is. We have a flip phone. We have a track phone. The pastor, man. You know, and our culture is so programmed us this way. Well, if I have a track phone, then I'm like a welfare person. Does it make phone calls? Well, yeah. Can you send text messages? But it's not as easy. That's not my question. Can you send text? Can you communicate with it? Yes, be thankful. Amen. We have been so conditioned. And when we go into God's ministry, we've been so conditioned that we need this and this and this. If I don't have this, then I don't know. I mean, it surprises me. I don't know if you do this, but when a missionary pulls in, I look at their car. And there's been a couple missionaries that come in. So, oh, that's a really nice car. You know, sometimes it's been loaned to them by somebody. I always ask that beforehand. I don't make an assumption. Oh, you got a nice car there. Oh, yeah. And I ask this question. You make payments on that thing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to get out from underneath that. So I don't ask him this, but in my mind, so what you're telling me is that churches are supporting you on deputation and they're going to the finance company? Because you couldn't drive a $2,000 Honda Accord and you had to drive a 2015 Acura or something? That's not the right view of ministry. And you know what I think? And unless the Lord teach them something, those people won't make it very long. Because they're sure not going to have that Acura when they're in Africa or Central America or the Philippines somewhere. That's American society. That's American culture. You know, when they're on deputation, oh, yes, Pastor, you know, we're just poor missionaries, and they pull out a laptop more expensive than my car. And they pull out a cell phone that's, you know, has all the bells and whistles, and they have, you know, cell phones like this. I'm thinking, they're not sacrificing for God. They have been trained, and there's some mission boards that train them this way, that they have to have a level of status if they're going to make. They're used to being in bigger churches. That's a status symbol. And that if they don't have that, then they're not a good missionary. Oh, you're setting someone up for failure. God provides our needs. Yes, even sometimes our wants at times. But at the same time, we shouldn't be expecting Him to provide our wants all the time. He provides our needs. Just walk with Him. And He provides your needs. Amen. I mean, that's exciting to read from the Nichols when they get to Brazil that God gave them a vehicle that they couldn't afford. It isn't that they went into debt for it. The Lord provided the man to bring the price down to get a vehicle they thought they couldn't even afford. And God provided what they needed. You know why? Because God's going to use that truck in the future. They just want a little car, but God wanted them to have a truck. And there's a reason for that, because God's going to use it later. He provided their need. Amen? That's the type of walk with the Lord we need to have. That's the will of the Lord. Look at 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. I have a whole list of verses. I don't have time to get through them all. We'll just look at a couple. And this list is by no means exhaustive. I encourage you to go in your Bible, study it, and bring out these promises. And if you pray them, you're going to find an answer from God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know what this is talking about. If we walk with God and we walk in the light, it's going to be a strange thing. We get along with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing to see. If you've never been on a missions trip, I encourage you to do it. In that, going to another country, they speak another language, but they love the same Jesus. They love the same Bible. They love the same God. Even though you can't understand their language, you sit in their service and you have a witness of the Spirit with them. And you have fellowship with them because they love Jesus just as much as you do. And actually, you know, many times they love Jesus more than we do. They love Him so much. I don't know of any American that would walk 10 miles barefoot to church. Forget it. There would be some, I'm sure, but there would be very few. I think if we took churches of 5,000 and 6,000 we had in America and we told them, hey, walk 5 miles to church in your bare feet. Better yet, just put sneakers on, walk 5 miles to church. You know what? That church would go from 3,000 to probably 100 or less. Whoa, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go to church over here. I'm not doing that. But that's what these people do. Week in, week out. They just love God. Amen? They love Him that much to walk that far. Because they walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:6.
2 Corinthians 7:6. Corinthians 5, 6. Seeming a frog in my throat. All right. 2 Corinthians 5, 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Hold on. 7:6. I'm in 5:6. That's a good verse, but that's not the verse I was looking for. 7:6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. How many have ever been cast down? You've been discouraged. You've been hurt. You know what the promise is here? God that comforteth those that are cast down. And you are cast down and you're discouraged. And we're going to look at another verse about discouragement, about comfort, about loss. And we come to God and say, oh God, I need comfort. My heart is broken. Guess what you're going to receive? Comfort from the Word. God's going to send a brother or sister in Christ to you and going to comfort you. It's a promise. But are these things important? They are when you're going through something. They're important when you need them. Amen. So get your arsenal ready. Look at Psalm 27, verse 5. Psalm 27, verse 5. At times when we're going through trials, all that we have are the promises of God to claim. Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock. It isn't a could be, it might be, it's a shall. He'll protect me. He will shield me. He will set me, most importantly, upon the rock. You know what the rock is? Right here. The Bible. Jesus Christ. He'll set me upon the rock. It's a promise. Will you ask God for it? Oh, Lord, in this trial, will you steady me? Will you set me upon the rock? The devil's going to tempt me to quit. The devil's going to tempt me to compromise. He's going to tempt me to sin. I don't want to do that. I want to stand true on the rock. And guess what? He's going to help you. He's going to be there. He's going to hide you. He's going to take you into the pavilion. It's a promise. Boy, that'll strengthen your faith. One more. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Last one. 2 Corinthians 1:10. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You know, one of the hardest things to trust God for is deliverance, because we want a particular kind of deliverance. You know, we are in the middle of a trial. I said, Lord, deliver me from this trial. You know what the Lord might do? He won't deliver you from the trial, but he'll deliver you from the temptation to quit during the trial. He'll deliver you from weakness and wishing to throw in the towel. He'll deliver you from many things. He doesn't say from what? Now, I was talking about from sin and from death and hell. He'll deliver us unto eternal life. Amen. But if we want deliverance, we can ask deliverance from temptation. As though, Lord, I'm in the middle of this temptation. I'm in the middle of this. And you know what the book says? He always makes a way of escape. He always makes a way to get out. Don't say, oh, Lord, help me get out. He says, there's the door. Get going. Oh, do I have to do that? God already answered the prayer. We just don't like the answer. Are we willing to pray? Now look at Romans chapter 8, number 3. Praying according, we were talking about claiming the promises of God. Praying according to God's word. Just gave some examples there. Also, praying according to the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. In the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in our prayer. Beginning verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So right here, this is an amazing truth, and this is a couple sermons all by itself, in that the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Know what? God knows we don't know what to ask for. Amen? He knows that. He knows that we don't know how to ask it always. He knows that we're just trying to do what's right. He sees the heart. And we pray and say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. I don't know. But whatever it is, I want your will. And you know, the Holy Spirit begins speaking to your heart. And the longer you pray, the more Holy Spirit speaks to you and draws out what you need to pray for. And you just feel led. So, Lord, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. I have to pray about this. If this is your will, Lord, I want to do it. I want you to do it in my life. And guess what? That's going to be answered prayer in your life. Because you're praying according to the Spirit. And by doing this, by praying to the Word of God, of praying according to the Spirit, and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, you know what you're taking out of the equation? You. They're taking you out of the equation. We're the one that get in our own way. You know that? Oh, we get in our own way. Because we begin to think that we know what we need. That we know what direction we need to go in. And that we just tell God, Lord, this is the direction that I think you're leading me in. Will you just rubber stamp it for me? Will you just do this for me? If the planet aligns right, I'm just going to go do it. No. Because the devil can make the planets align. The devil can do a lot of things. He can even pretend to be the Holy Spirit. Try. You know, that devil tries to pass himself off as the Holy Spirit. He tries to pass himself off as an angel of light. He tries to pass himself off as a preacher sometimes. You know, he passed himself off as a serpent. He wasn't a serpent in heaven. He's an angel. He passed himself off as that. And you know what? He can pass himself off as all kinds of things. Tries to get you to doubt God. Tried to get you to do things your way. To do things the way you know in your heart. And you know what? Whenever you hear this, well, I just know in my heart. And I just have this feeling in my heart. I have this in my heart. And this in my heart. And this in my heart. Let me tell you something. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I know what's in my heart. The Bible says you don't. The Bible says only God knows what's in the heart of man. And guess what? It's not pretty what's in there. And it's only Jesus that can forgive it. Only Jesus can make it clean. And the devil loves to prey on our hearts. I get you to believe, just trust your heart. Believe your heart. You know, if Nike's saying that, we probably shouldn't be doing it. Amen. The world says we just need to follow our heart. Follow your dreams. Joseph did. Well, it's a different thing with his dreams. God gave him his dreams. You know, God can give you a dream. God can give you a vision for the future. God can give you a vision for him. Amen. That is of God. But just because you dreamed it up and you think it's a good idea and that's what you like to do, and hey, I like to do more than anything else, you know what? We ask that question. And by the way, this is not always a hard and fast answer. You know, I say, well, what would you like to do above all else? What would you be fulfilled and happy doing? And what would make you just so happy? By the way, is that in here? Is it? No. It's not. Well, I would be just so happy doing this for the Lord. And that very well might be what God wants you to do, but that's not what you base it off of. You know how many people are in Bible college in a particular major because that's how they came to that conclusion? Because that's how what they were taught to do? Well, whatever you desire most in your life, that is what God has equipped you to do, and that's what God wants you to do. There's all kinds of people. You look at the great missionaries of old, evangelists of old, guess what? They started out doing something else. And God said, no, you're supposed to do this. Amen? There's a big difference between our will and God's will. And even though we volunteer and say, God, this is what I think I need to do. This is what I think I should do. And this is what I'm volunteering for. And by the way, at Missions Conference, if you come down here and say, Lord, I'll volunteer everything else. I'll do this. I'm going to do this for you and this for you and this for you. Why don't you just be quiet and listen to what God wants you to do? Amen? We spend so much time in our prayer. Lord, I want to do this for you. And I want to do this for you. And God's going to say, excuse me. I don't want to do this for you. He said, excuse me. And he said, hey, why don't you just listen and let God tell you what he wants you to do? Nothing wrong with being zealous. Amen? Just as long as we stay long enough to listen and let him work in our heart and follow him. So tonight you can have answered prayer. Claim the promise of God. And there's many, 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 many more. I highly recommend. It's a book that I think Brother Starr had on his table last time around. It's a Bible Promises book. And it's a book of categorized according to needs you have in your life topically. If you don't have it, you can buy it for about $2 or $3. Then you can buy it on Amazon. Get the King James Version of it. And that is a book. And if you want to see answered prayer, why don't you just pray through that book? Say, Lord, this situation is going on in my life. And you promise this, Lord, I pray this promise, and I pray that you'd answer my prayer. And guess what? He's going to do it. You know, doesn't charge you up like answered prayer, amen? But you know, God answers your prayer. And when God, you know, I'll tell you what, last Thursday night, I was charged up. Because that's what we prayed for. You know, we prayed that we'd have a good number, but we prayed that people would be saved because we're on Fort Hood in a place that is most often closed and that we can see so saved, and God did it. Answer prayer, and I don't want it to stop there, amen. I said, well, we had our one soul and we're packing up and we're done. No, we're going to keep going and praying that God sees some more people saved, amen. That's our prayer. One more. Okay, Matthew 28. So, Pastor, I have just a burden for lost people. Amen. We need a burden for lost people. That's part of our missions conference. A good chunk of our missions conference was about having a burden for lost people. As I'm praying for lost people around the world, and I'm praying that God would save them, and that God would send someone to them, and that God would go and see my, I pray that my neighbor gets saved, and that my friends at work would get saved. And oh, I just pray that I get saved. I just pray that God would answer my prayer. And you know what? You're an answer to his prayer, to your own prayer. Do you know that? Because it says here, go ye. That's mean ye means you. So when you're praying and say, Lord, will you send someone to witness to my mom and my dad? And these things, it says, go ye. He's pointing back, so there you are. Go right ahead. Oh, Pastor, we need to send somebody else. It was a preacher. I was listening to a sermon, and I thought this was interesting. That he was in a church, and he started pastoring a church. It wasn't really a soul-winning church. And it was late at night, and the pastor got a call from the deacon. This was back in many years ago. We had a call from the deacon, and it said, Pastor, I'm here with so-and-so, one of my co-workers, and you know, I've been talking to them about the Lord, and I told them that you would come over and talk to them. They want to be saved, and that you would tell them how to be saved. Pastor, could you come? Now, this is a deacon in the church. He said, no. He said, there's nothing special about being saved that I need to come. You know the Bible. Why don't you lead them to the Lord? And the guy was flabbergasted. He says, I'm not going to come and do something that God has called you to do. You know the Bible. And he ended up going, and the guy ended up getting saved, but he thought it was a pastor's job to lead everyone to the Lord. And he says, I don't have any special knowledge and special contact with God to save the soul. Anybody can do it. It's especially a deacon who's been a deacon in the church for 35 years and knows the Bible inside out backwards. He can lead someone to the Lord. Because God said, go ye.
it can answer your own prayers at times. The Lord sends somebody. The Lord says, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. It doesn't always go that way, but many times it does. But we're unwilling to say, okay, it's my responsibility. It's my job. Hebrews 11:6 tells us this very quickly. Will you diligently seek the Lord? Will you diligently seek His will? God promises to reward that. God isn't sitting out somewhere in the cosmos holding His will in a bag and trying to hide from us and playing a bait and switch with us all the time. Saying, well, you got over here. Oh, wait, it's not over here. Oh, look, it's over here. Because that's what the devil wants you to think. That's why so many Christians get discouraged in seeking it. But God wants you to know it. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you diligently seek God, you're going to find your answer. You're going to find His will. You're going to find it. It's a promise. Will you seek it tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this evening. I pray as we come to this invitation time, that, Lord, You've spoken to our hearts. You've spoken to our lives. We now have a refresher, an understanding, or maybe a new understanding of why we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Who's without His blood, we would have no access to You, our most dear Heavenly Father. I pray that You'd work the invitation tonight, that we'd pray according to Your will, that we would pray Scripture, that we would pray Your Word, and that we, dear Lord, would have faith in Your answer, and You will answer, Lord. I pray that You'd strengthen our faith in prayer. Build it, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.